privilege to be able to preach tonight here at our own church. And if you would turn with me to Psalm 126, and we'll be reading verses 5 and 6. Psalm 126, 5 and 6. Just came off a week of vacation Bible school, and obviously the theme, really the theme song for the week that we sang was about sowing and reaping. What you sow, you shall reap. And that was a truth that I think if a kid was there every single day, they really understood and really got that what you sow, you shall reap. And this passage here tonight has to do with sowing and reaping. Psalm 126, 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. If you just let's have a word of prayer as we open up the message. Dear Lord, I pray that you would strengthen me tonight as I preach. That I would preach exactly what you want me to preach. Lord, I pray that you would give each one of us sensitive hearts to what your Spirit would have for us tonight. And I pray that you would work in our hearts and open up the Scriptures to us tonight. And I pray this in your name. Amen. There are obviously many different illustrations in the Bible. Jesus Christ used so many illustrations as he taught. And we have an illustration of sowing right here in this passage. Obviously, if you plant corn seeds, you're going to get corn. Drive crazy on the road, there's more than likely you're going to get into an accident. If you speed, if you go 100 miles an hour down the road, if you sow that, you're going to probably reap a speeding ticket, a pretty hefty fine. There's many types of sowing that we can do in our life. Every decision in our life is really a decision that is what is called sowing. And what you sow, you're going to reap. This could be a decision of the world. This could even be a decision in a Christian's life to sow pleasure in our life. If we live for pleasure, we're going to reap the emptiness that pleasure brings. If we sow in our life for living for the flesh, like Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says, if we sow to the flesh, we'll of the flesh reap corruption. We're going to reap those consequences. If we walk with wise men, the Bible says we will be wise. But you know what? If you walk with fools, the Bible says the companion of fools shall be destroyed. That's why it's so important that we choose the right type of friends, that we walk with the people that are wise, that are making wise choices, that are walking with God, so that we're not destroyed in our lives. Because whether we believe it or not, our choices in life have consequences. The things that we sow in our lives will reap consequences. But you know what? We can sow in other people's lives. And this passage is really talking about the person who is sowing. And the Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You know, in our daily life as Christians, you know what? There's many things that we could sow in our life. Many things that happen in our life. And often our responses dictate what we're going to reap. But you know what? There may be things that you are sowing in tears. Maybe there's trials in your life that God has allowed in your life. If you believe the promise of this word, of the word of God, it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. This isn't they might reap in joy. No, the Bible says you will reap in joy. So the trials that we face, you know, in one point in time, we will reap in joy. You know what? There may be tears that are shed for physical suffering right now. But you know what? As we trust the Lord, there will be joy. We will reap in joy. You know what? There may be tears that are shed for wayward loved ones, people that you're concerned about. And as you sow in tears, looking to God, trusting Him, you will reap in joy. There's many different things that you could just come to the Lord for and just be broken about before Him as you're sowing in tears. But the Bible does promise for the Christian that we will reap in joy. There's no question about it. We will reap in joy for those tears that we've shed. But especially, I mean, and the passage of this scripture really is talking about, I mean, think about the children of Israel. This is a psalm that they would sing. You know, as they were taken away from their homeland, those that were sorrowful for that, those that went before God, think of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, the tears that he shed. You know what? One day, the children of Israel were brought back to their homeland, and there was great joy in their hearts. But how does this passage apply to us as Christians? Obviously, we've talked about some of the application, but especially as Christians, how does this apply to our lives and the commission that God has given to us as believers? It definitely directly applies to us. How does this passage focus? What is the focus of this passage as it applies to our lives as Christians? Well, first of all, let's just read verse 6, which we'll be focusing on for the rest of this time. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. As Christians, I really believe this verse here highlights the truths of sharing the gospel and seeing God work as a result of sowing the seeds of the gospel. But first of all, in order, the result of this passage is bring his sheaves with him. That's the focus of, and the point of this passage here, the goal of this verse. But in order to see your sheaves brought in, what has to happen? Well, first of all, it says in the first part of the verse, he that goeth forth. First of all, you must go forth. Think of Isaiah. We are not going to turn there, but Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah saw the presence of God, and he was humbled. He was had fear in his heart because he saw the holiness of God. And what happened? He said, woe is me, for I'm a man undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And the angel of God came down and said, you are clean. And God said, and the angel in that passage it says, who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. You first must go forth, as this passage says. So we see that we must go forth. And what are we going forth from? Well, it's not going forth from living a life of pleasure for yourself. It's not living a life focused on yourself. Because if that's what we're living for, we're not going to be going forth for God. We'll be going forth for ourselves. And we must go forth from the presence of God. The next point kind of ties in with the second point I'd like to make. He that goeth forth and weepeth. There must be weeping. In order to see these sheaves brought in, there must be weeping. So there's that going forth. Secondly, there must be weeping. We see Mark chapter 1, verse 35. There's an important aspect, I believe, that we must look at in the aspect of weeping. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. We see that Jesus went forth. He went out. But he didn't just go out. He showed the example that we ought to follow. He went out. But he didn't simply just go. He went forth a great while before the day and there prayed. And there's just a quote from Spurgeon, actually, about this passage, actually back in Psalm 126, a sermon he preached. But he said, he made an important point about the importance of prayer. He says, "This going out from God seems to me to imply that the worker had been with God in prayer. We must go fresh from the mercy seat to the field of service if we would gather plenteously. Our truest strength lies in prayer. I am persuaded, brethren, that we are losing much of blessing which might come upon the church through our negligence in private supplications. I cannot pry into your prayer closets, but I believe that in the conscience of many of you there will be an affirmative voice to the charge I lay against some of you. You have restrained prayer before God. Your restraining of prayer, if you seek to serve God, is binding your own hands and cutting the sinews of your strength. Just as you could not expect to be vigorous if you denied yourselves food, so neither can you hope to be strong if you deny yourselves prayer. Get close to God, for strength flows out of him. Keep at a distance from him, and you lose all power and become weak as water." That was a powerful quote that I read from Spurgeon, who understood the importance of prayer for the Christian. And how true and what a conviction that was to me, just to think, as we neglect prayer, as we neglect to get to know God, get to know His heart, and really bring petitions before God, then we're not going to see that strength that flows from God. And we won't see the results, the people that we want to see saved, that we desire to see saved. If we don't go before God, before the throne of grace, before the throne of mercy, we will not see those sheaves brought forth with rejoicing. Prayer is really the key in order to see all this come together. And you know what? Do we have compassion? You know what? You can go forth. You can go forth and bear that precious seed. But you know what? If you're going forth without compassion, according to this passage, you won't be seeing sheaves brought in with rejoicing. You will not be seeing these sheaves brought in. Not only must you go forth, but there must be weeping. Jude 22 says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." And the Lord really convicted me as I was just meditating on this point. Do we have compassion? When is the last time that I wept over a soul, that I cried out before God? There's so many people out there that need the Lord Jesus Christ. When's the last time that you were so broken before God that you wept for those souls? And why must there be weeping? Well, there's weeping because of, you obviously see the blindness of their hearts. They don't know the direction they're heading. They don't realize that their end is destruction in the lake of ever and ever. Why must we weep? We must weep because of the hardness of their heart. Why must there be weeping? Because they have no idea of the result that their sin will bring them. So we see that there must be weeping. And even in the life of Christ, in Matthew 9, verse 36, this is a very well-known passage that I think we all know. But in Matthew 9:36, we see Jesus' compassion. "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Do we have the compassion that Christ had that would drive us to go and preach the word of God? Obviously, Christ had the greatest compassion because he took the ultimate sacrifice in dying on the cross for our sin. This compassion will drive us also to tell the lost of their condition. It will drive us to plead. It will drive us to have sorrow for their souls. These tears, I know the Apostle Paul shed. In Acts 20, it states how that night and day he labored among them with tears for the space of 2 years. The Apostle Paul was one that was so controlled by God and so in line with the will of God that he was broken for these people that he was working with. And if you don't have this compassion, how will we get this compassion? Well, I know one place to start is just by acknowledging that, God, I don't have this compassion for the lost. But would you give me a compassion for these people? Because this isn't something that I know that myself, I can't just work up in my heart. You know what? God, I don't have this compassion. But it starts with acknowledging the need. God, I don't have a compassion for the lost. I haven't shed a tear. Maybe it's been weeks. Maybe it's been months. Maybe it has been years that you haven't shed a tear in prayer for lost souls. First, you must just admit to God, God, I don't have this compassion, but would you give me that compassion? And it really starts with that prayer of, God, I need that compassion. And day by day, just seeking the Lord and asking him for that compassion. And as you seek the Lord, the Bible says, seek ye the Lord and he shall be found. Call ye upon him. We must call upon the Lord and he will meet with us. But not only must you go forth, not only must there be weeping, but obviously we must be bearing precious seed. That verse says back in Psalm 126. This is obviously the seed, the precious seed in relationship to our responsibility as Christians, is the seed of the gospel. This isn't some false teaching. You know what? There's thousands of people out there that are spreading the false truth. But you know what? This is the truth of the unadulterated gospel. It's not taking the gospel and making it look... maybe you think something's offensive when you're trying or sharing the gospel. Maybe you're telling the people that, you know what, all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. And because of our sin, we deserve to spend an eternity in hell. You might say, well, you know what, that's pretty brash. I'm just going to make it sound a little bit easier. Or I don't want to offend them, so I'm going to maybe change up part of the gospel here. No, that's not what bearing precious seed is. Bearing precious seed is simply declaring the truth of Scripture, plain and simple, under the power of the Spirit of God. So he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We see that first, you must go forth. There must be weeping. There must be sowing the precious seed. You must be bringing the precious seed with you, bearing precious seed. And what is the promise of this verse? Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And there's a lot packed into those last few sentences. But the promise of Scripture is that you shall come again. You know what? As you go out, this verse says you're going to come again. You will come back from the harvest field. You know what? Some have come back discouraged. Some have come back maybe saddened. The Bible, though, says we will come back. But not only will you come back, you will doubtless come back. This is an affirmation of this promise. You will doubtless come again. Well, how will you come back? Will you come back with sadness? Will you come back with grief? What is the end result of when you go forth, when you weep, when you bear precious seed? And the Bible says you'll doubtless come again. But how will you come back? You will come back with rejoicing. This is an affirmation of what will happen when you go forth and weep and bear precious seed. You will doubtless come again with rejoicing. This isn't something that I made up. This is just something that the Scripture says. It's a law of sowing and reaping. And we see just over and over, even in the scripture, a confirmation of this in the New Testament, even about the rejoicing that will occur because of sharing the gospel and sharing the truth of God's word. Even in Luke 10, verse 17, this is just after the 70 were sent out by Jesus Christ. How did they come back? And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They had gone out, they had just preached the Lord Jesus Christ to the to Israel, and they had saw God work in a marvelous way, and they were rejoicing in the power of God. We also see in John 4, verse 35. This is has to do with when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman, and he was speaking with her, sharing with her the truths of Scripture, and the disciples came back to Jesus, and he said in verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. You know, there may be some that simply sow the gospel, simply sow the seeds of the word of God in people's lives. They may not see the result of their sowing. They may not see the result of their tears, of the countless hours that they spent investing in people's lives. But you know what? He that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. You know what? One day, at the end of eternity, we will see the results of our sowing, of our weeping, of our bearing precious seed. And it will be rejoicing, bringing the sheaves in. And that is the final part of this verse in Psalm 126. I'll read it again. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Another passage in Luke, just to illustrate this point of rejoicing and bringing the sheaves in, is found in Luke 15. This is a parable that Jesus was sharing. And the first parable he spoke in this in Luke 15 was about the shepherd who lost one of his sheep, illustrating the truth that you have to first be lost before a person can be saved. But what happens when this shepherd goes out and he looks for his sheep? He looks and he looks and he looks, and finally he finds it. What is there? Is there sadness? No. What does he say? Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. You know, as we go out on soul winning, whether it's Monday night or just throughout the week, one of the greatest things that brings joy into our life is being able to share with others what God did that night. Now, obviously, it's great to be able to share just divine appointments that God gave, open people that were open and receptive to the gospel. Maybe they didn't even accept it that night, accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. But what brings rejoicing, the greatest rejoicing, is seeing souls come to Christ. And even last week at Mineral Point, it just brought great joy to see people even coming to hear the gospel. But what greater joy it is to see the results of that labor. You know what? Maybe it's hours that you've spent with someone, pleading with them to trust Christ. Maybe it's hours that you've spent in prayer. And the rejoicing that will come after, the rejoicing that comes is well worth the labor, the weeping, and the tears that have been shed. And the next passage, there's a woman that had 10 pieces of silver. And Jesus is saying, you know, if she loses one piece, what is she going to do? She's going to light a candle and she's going to search for that one piece until she found it. And what happens when she finds it? She says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." And think of the joy that it brings, even in heaven. And there's that's one focus that we see, that in heaven there is rejoicing when a soul trusts Christ. Not only is there rejoicing here on earth, but there is rejoicing in heaven. God in heaven, that's his desire, is to see souls come to the Savior, to trust Christ. You know, we're not fighting the battle alone for souls. There is a God in heaven who is on our side, who is our Savior. Not only is our Savior, but who is our King, who is our intercessor, and who is there that we can go to find strength to continue in the battle. But you know what? If we give in and say, you know what? I'm not going to go forth. It's just too hard. Or maybe you're saying, you know what? I'm just too busy to go forth and bear that precious seed. Then you won't see the sheaves brought in. There won't be rejoicing in heaven from what the labors of your life. What aspect of this verse are you missing? Are you missing the going forth aspect? When's the last time you went forth and shared the gospel? As Christians, that is our duty. That is an obligation that we have. It's a debt that we owe to the world to go forth and preach the gospel. Is that what you're missing tonight? Or are you missing the tears, the compassion for lost souls? Is there any compassion in your heart? Is there any desire to see souls saved? If there isn't, we need to go before God and say, God, give us that compassion. Break my heart over my lack of compassion and my selfish spirit. You know what? What is missing? Is it the going forth? Is it the weeping? Or maybe it's the bearing the precious seed. Maybe you aren't giving the gospel. Maybe you're just building relationships with people. Maybe you're good friends with someone, but you're not actually giving them the gospel. What is missing as a Christian tonight in our lives, in the aspect of what God has given us and commissioned us to do? What is missing in our commission from the Lord? Is it the going forth? Is it the weeping? Or is it the bearing of the precious seed? If you have these three ingredients, we are assured that we will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. Let us just really, even as we go forward, realize that, you know what? We need to go forth. We need to bear those precious seeds with weeping and realize and trust that God is going to work in a great and powerful way. Don't let anything discourage you from the promises of Scripture. And if there is an area that each aspect of this verse is a challenge to my life, is there something missing? And we just need to go to the Lord, say, God, may this verse be true in my life. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you would just simply work in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust in an all-powerful God to work in people's lives. Lord, as we simply go forth and as we weep and as we bear the precious seed of the gospel, the precious seeds, Lord, of your word, we know that we will come with rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us, because, Lord, you are the Lord of the harvest. And we pray that you would just work in our lives to make us those who will go forth and weep, Lord, and bear those precious seeds. Lord, we long to see souls saved, and Maquonago in this area reached, and the world reached. We pray this in your name.